Chances are you've come across our next guest work in the movies, Toy Story, Epic, or A Bug's Life. William Joyce writes and illustrates children's books and films, and he's known for his book, The Mischievians and Meet the Robinsons, and has a new offering out called Numberlies. William, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Well, I want to start off by listening to a little bit of your work. This is the movie that came from your book, The Leafman.
Uh-huh. Where are we?
It's where this guy lives.
Most stompers just come and go, but this guy's relentless.
Wait, stompers?
Yeah. You know, like us, but big and dumb and slow, always stomping on things.
He's my dad. I'm a stomper.
What happened? You got shrunk?
Yes!
Seriously?
It's been a weird day for everybody.
A clip there from the movie Epic. And I want to ask you, you've been called a guardian of childhood. As a children's author and illustrator, what does that mean to you?
Well, I did a series called The Guardians of Childhood where I sort of defined all the, or tried to define through intense personal investigation, the origins of Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and Jack Frost and the Easter Bunny and the Man in the Moon and all those guys. I interviewed them, went to their lands, and transcribed their stories. And so the Guardian's Oath that was at first initiated by the Man in the Moon and the other guardians take, says something like, we will watch over the children of Earth to keep happy their hearts and brave their souls and rosy their cheeks. And we will guard with our lives the children of Earth because they are all that we have, all that we are, and all that we will ever be. And so that's sort of my mantra, I guess. I do my books and my stories and movies and stuff to sort of keep the spirit of childhood alive and that sense of optimism and adventure and possibility.
I love that concept of writing and illustrating with protecting the kids' terrain, I guess, in mind. But how do you put that into practice? How are you mindful of that as you're creating?
You know, it's like I've absorbed so much of the things that I loved from popular culture since I was a kid. And I've always gravitated towards the things that had a sort of, I don't know, buoyant, adventurous spirit. And, you know, Frank Capra movies, The Wizard of Oz, Errol Flynn's Robin Hood, the Little Rascals, The Three Stooges. I mean, all these things that I grew up with, that they have a certain Antarctic spirit to them. But they're also, you know, sweet-spirited in a way. I mean, even though the Three Stooges hit each other over the head all the time with anvils, they are good pals. You sense that. And so, I don't know, growing up with that stuff just sort of imprinted itself on my DNA. And so it's always seems to be the kind of story I tend to tell.
It's interesting that you use the word anarchic. It strikes me, you know, something similar with Maurice Sendak and Where the Wild Things Are, that there is a sort of wild boundary of childhood that, you know, still speaks to adults, obviously, but there's something about childhood that, you know, really likes to get out there and be wild. Do you feel that in your work?
Yeah, I do. And in fact, Wild Things was probably the single catalyst that put me on this path. I was 5 years old and I just found out, I'd seen King Kong, and my parents had to explain to me that King Kong wasn't true. And I'm like, no, it was true. It was on TV. It was in the news. I saw it. And it was awesome. But I'm really sad they killed Kong. He was a really great guy. He was just the wrong size. And I'm like, no, it's a made-up thing. And I'm like, well, I don't understand this made-up. What do you mean? And I'm like, well, it's this thing called fiction. And I go, well, who makes fiction? And I said, grown-ups do. And I was like, oh. Those guys. Them. And so later that week, though, I was like, just had this empty sense of like, gosh, if there's not, you know, King Kong, then everything else was in doubt, you know? But I sat down and in our library was this new book called Where the Wild Things Are. And I looked at those pictures and I read that story and I knew at that moment that this is what I wanted to do. I was like, who did this? Who did these drawings? And the librarian said, the name on the book is the guy who's called the author. And then if there's another person that draws the pictures, they're the illustrator. But this one, this guy did both. He made up the story and it drew the pictures. And his name's Maurice Sendak. And I go, and he's a grown-up? And they go, yes. And I go, and this is what is his job is? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, well, that's what I want to do. And so when my first book was published in 1988, it was with Harper and Row, they were called then, and it was also the 25th anniversary of the publication of Where the Wild Things Are. And I asked my editor at Harper and Row if I could somehow meet Maurice, because Harper and Row had published Where the Wild Things Are. And so my first signing in New York City, right when I was finished, the guy at the bookstore, Books of Wonder, which is still there, wonderful bookstore in New York, Peter Glassman, the owner, came up to me and said, you have a phone call and you're going to want to take this. I pick up the phone and hello, he goes, this is Bill Joyce. Yes, yes. This is Maurice Sendak. And I was just like dumbfounded. And he said, I understand you want to meet me. And I go, yes, sir, I very much would like to. And he said, well, why? And I go, well, and he goes, okay, when you were a little boy? And I go, yeah, when I was a little boy. I read Where the Wild Things Are, and if you hadn't done that book, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
Oh, what a great story.
Goes, all right, meet me at the Empire State Building in 30 minutes. And so yeah, we struck up a friendship, and he was a good sort of mentor to me from then on. So I've kept my wild rumpus going and through Maurice, and was very sad when he passed.
Well, you're a grown-up, and your name is on another book now, The Numberlees. Can you give us a taste of that project?
Well, okay. It's another example of me watching a movie and getting influenced and putting it in a book. For ages, I've wanted to do an alphabet book, but I couldn't think of an interesting way to do that. And I was like, you know, I love the alphabet. I love language. I love just shapes of the alphabet. They're just so pleasing. You know, I didn't want to just do A is for apple, B is for boy. And so I've been like aching for some epic way to make an alphabet book. And that was rotating around in my head for a while. And then I went to see Metropolis when it was restored a couple of years ago. They found all this missing footage and it was finally put back together in its original form. And the first time it had been seen in the way the director Fritz Lang had wanted people to see it since it premiered in 1927. And it just blew me away. It was such a magnificent, gigantic, epic film. And it's influenced so many science fiction films since then. And I had my kids with me, and they were just blown away. And I'm like, all right, if kids can respond to this 1927 futuristic epic, then they can, a picture book can, I can introduce them to the idea of that kind of grandeur.
And that led you to The Numberlees. That's all the time we have. Thanks to William Joyce. His new book is The Numberlees.